I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady here from IRIB English Radio. In the studio, as always, I have the pleasure and honor of having my lovely sister and friend and wonderful guest, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, my dear sister.
On the previous episode of Muslim Lady, we were talking about two important techniques or tips or principles one must consider if a Muslim lady wants to step into the very pleasurable and beneficial path of self-care. Number one was time management, as you mentioned, Sister Razia. You complemented it with a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his technique and method of time management and the Quran's instructions regarding this matter. Pray first, real simple, real straightforward. The second point was mindfulness. It's just a matter of terminology. You think that, oh, mindfulness is something that these new YouTubers have coined and you see it in motivational Instagram posts. But I think the Quran talks about mindfulness like a kajillion times. It just uses different phrases.
Exactly.
Right?
I just want to recite one beautiful Quranic verse where I got mindfulness from this. It says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتغلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. So these men, whom neither trading nor bargaining distracts from the remembrance of Allah, in the midst of their business deals with two important corporations, two different countries, it's a subhanAllah that in the midst of even that, they are constantly remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the material world does not distract them from Iqam al-salat wa ita al-zakat, from, you know, praying and giving zakat, because they are fearful of a day. Everything, mindfulness, the roots of my mindfulness is the day of judgment.
Yes,
that definitely. You have that picture ahead of you and your eyes are fixed on that. Whatever you want to do, you say, look at that picture, look at that picture, look at that picture.
Beautiful.
Right?
Yeah. And to constantly remind yourself that you're more than this 1, 2, 3 days that you spend on in this world, that there's an actual eternal future awaiting you, that you're going to meet the consequences of every single action you conduct here and in a boat that will last forever. When you have that sort of picture of yourself and the quality of your existence, you don't feel like YOLO, you only live once, let's just see what happens, who cares, you know? You're like, no, this is gonna last forever, so I better make it last.
Exactly.
I better make it worthwhile.
One of my friends who watches a lot of Life After Life, it's like those people who have had the near-death experiences, and the way they explain things, that little things that they have done in this world turns into great, unbelievable phenomena in the other world.
Right.
And this way, this is just a very tangible way for us to really believe in the hereafter and believe in the impact of what we're doing here. You know, and sometimes we're not realizing, Zainab, how much impact we as individuals are having on the lives of other people without knowing.
That's true. That's so true.
Little things, but we are sometimes shaping the fate of a person.
Mm.
So we are responsible.
For sure.
So this is tip mindfulness. The third tip, which I have just briefly mentioned in our previous episodes, is... the quality of your time or your relationship in your family with your spouse and with your children. Self-care would be influential, would work well, would function, would give result only when you are living in an atmosphere that is peaceful. So be very careful. And also, there are a lot of many researches that say that people who are in happy relationships, who are living in good families, they have healthier bodies.
I swear to God.
Healthier minds, healthier souls, healthier whatever.
Exactly.
So self-care, take care of your family.
Exactly.
We are, inshallah, going to mention that the noble prophet, in a hadith from him, we read that several things are of the traits of the prophets, one of which is good intimacy with one's spouse. And intimacy, sexual relationship, it has introductions.
Right.
I mean, you should be having a good non-intimate relationship before intimacy to have a good intimate relationship.
Exactly. Don't approach her like roosters and hens, I believe His Eminence says.
Exactly. So if you want to, you know, one ray of light of self-care is one important part, one important share, portion of self-care is in how you are treating your spouse and how you're treating your family.
We're going to go on a short break and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Muslim Lady, and we are discussing the importance of self-care in Islam and its examples.
I love this story. I'm just going to share with you so much.
Absolutely.
That I will, you know, repeat it so many times, 1,000 times if I have to.
Wonderful.
So a couple of these ladies at the time of the Prophet, they went to the Prophet and they complained of their husbands. We are sometimes, we have problems with our husbands and we can't go anywhere. We just have to go to the court and, you know, that's when you want to get a divorce, right? Otherwise, if you want to, who do you have to refer to? To a psychologist. That's the best you can go
exactly.
to. And then the psychologist has no authority, has no position to say anything to your spouse.
Yeah, exactly. And oftentimes I found that psychologists that are too obsessed with the psychology part of it, they forsake the spiritual Islamic part. Those who are totally Islamic and religious, they don't understand the psychology part. And it sucks. There's no balance. We need Rasulullah.
Seriously. Imagine. And also, I read like some similar stories that like some ladies would go to like Imam Ali alayhi salam and say that like they were complaining, and Imam Ali alayhi salam personally took their matters into his hand and he fixed the problem himself.
Beautiful.
Imagine a religious leader.
An infallible religious authority. Leader. Exactly. That's beautiful. And then what happened?
Anyways, so they came to the Prophet and they said that our husbands have three problems.
Oh, no.
They don't eat meat. They don't use perfume. And they said that our husbands do not have intimate relationships with us. So the Prophet got so
distressed
and upset that he rushed to the mosque where his abba was, you know, dragging on the floor. He was so enraged. He went to the mosque, he sat on the pulpit, and he said, "What has happened to some of my companions? I, as your prophet, I eat meat, I use perfume, and I, you know, get close to my wives. Any of you who does not like my sunnah is not considered as a part of me." So,
and he talked some senses back into these men.
Exactly.
And forbade them from a life of celibacy.
The definition of Islam is a life full of vivacity, full of halal joys,
cheerfulness,
laughter, excitement, good, rich families. This is Islam, right? Mm.
And by rich, we don't necessarily mean like money rich.
No. Yeah. Rich, spiritually rich.
Exactly.
Right? It's like a caricature Islam that they have understood of.
And it's taken out of context as well.
Exactly.
And how often is the religion of God mutilated and utterly destructed because of this heinous habit of taking things out of context? I mean, when it comes to verses of the Quran, we're so quick to say that, oh no, you can't talk about the verses about jihad, kill them and arrest them and destroy them wherever you meet them, out of context. It has to be read in context. Those were peculiar, specific circumstances, and it's not like we can just walk around and kill disbelievers now. Mm. When it comes to that, they're quick to defend, they're quick to emphasize on the importance of context and other conditions. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to the right of the most closest person to them in their lives, the person who single-handedly holds the prosperity of their dunya and akhirah and their children, they become so oppressive, and it's so sad.
Yeah. Of course, many Muslim men also are extremely careful of the rights of their wives. I've seen some, men who pay so much attention to the sexual needs of their wives, seriously. Mm-hmm. And to all the ahadith that we have about this intimate relationship, they pay close attention. Mm-hmm. They first meet the needs of their wives, and then once she's satisfied, they would go to their own needs. Mm-hmm. So there are, alhamdulillah, good, religious, pious, caring men.
God-fearing men.
I've seen them.
May Allah increase them in number. Inshallah. And in sustenance and strength.
Seriously. Because the better the spousal relationship, the better your efficiency at work, the better person, the happier you are in the society.
The better sleep you get, the more energetic you are physically.
The better offspring.
Yeah, exactly.
A generation is gonna,
And how much Islam has laid emphasis on reproduction.
ما بني بناءٌ في الإسلام أحب إلى الله.
Exactly.
And التزويج, right?
There's no
institution. More beloved in the eyes of Allah than family, than marriage.
Beautiful.
Right? That was the third point. The fourth point is that one self-care tip, according to the teachings of Islam, is taking a short midday nap.
For real?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate napping.
I love it.
For real? I wake up so languid.
You know why? Because this has to follow the Islamic sunnah. Your whole life system has to be the Islamic way, so that the nap would fit in. There's a riwayah, there's a narration that says that if you want to help your nightly vigils, take day naps.
Mm.
Because for the lack of sleep that you have throughout the night, because, Islamically speaking, after sunset, we have to sleep after sunset.
Mm. Pray Maghrib, Isha, sleep.
Sleep. And then you keep waking up numerously. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّتْ
Before dawn. Right.
Right? So you do a lot of tahajjud throughout the night. Then you wake up early in the morning.
Right.
Like after your fajr prayer.
You're up. Yeah.
Your life starts.
Exactly. You go about your day and then...
Thank and it
so
increases your memory.
Ah, well, that explains a lot. Thank you so much, Sister Rosie, and thank you, brothers and sisters, for being with us on today's episode of Muslim Lady. Until another greeting and salam, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
I know I'm waiting for something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing is